Now, from pigments used hundreds of years ago to the magic that the modern art world is cooking up today. With us is artist Stuart Semple, who is something of a magic factory when it comes to paint. Hi, Stuart.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. So tell me about the wonders inside your magical paint lab.
Oh, I don't know where you start. It's a bit like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory in there. We've got paints that emit more light than any other paint. The pinkest pink that ever pinked, the blackest black you've ever painted with, things that change colour, things that compost, all sorts of stuff.
Well, I don't know where to start. How about you tell me about your light-emitting paint then, your glowing paint?
Yeah, we call it lit, and it's basically a similar sort of technology that you probably had on your bedroom ceiling as a kid where stars glowed, but ours is turned up to 12 on the dial, if you like. It goes for 12 hours. It's so bright, even in daylight, it's emitting light.
Well, I remember those stars, they would dim after, you know, half an hour.
Yeah, they were a bit rubbish, weren't they?
So
that's supercharged. Basically, we use different earth activators. So these are naturally occurring elements and metals that absorb energy and then chuck it out again as light. But we found by combining different ones, they would emit different frequencies of light at different times. So in essence, this mixture kind of self-charges itself. So it has a really bright initial glow and then an afterglow that just seems to sort of go on almost indefinitely.
And how did you go about finding these?
Nowadays, I actually have a forensic scientist in my studio, Jemima, who's absolutely awesome. So she does a lot of research, a lot of development, a lot of sourcing and a lot of playing. And we finally got a mix that played well together where the different wavelengths of energy affected each other and made it work.
I've got to say, I haven't seen many glowing paintings. So what kind of things does this one get used for?
You wouldn't believe the things people are using it for. I mean, one guy the other day mixed it in varnish and painted the whole floor of his house. We've had developing countries, interestingly, using it on road markings and just artists making awesome sculptures and paintings and all sorts of stuff.
Right. And now to go to the other end of the spectrum, you mentioned you have the blackest black.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we do.
How?
How? Where do you start? Let me start with the story of how and why I made the blackest black, probably, which is about 2 years ago, a lab grew a forest of nanoparticles, these nanotubes, on surfaces, and it trapped almost all light, and it was absolutely amazing. And the world was really excited, 99% of light, unbelievable. And they did an exclusive deal with an artist called Nish Kapoor, so only he could use it in his art. And everyone was mortally offended and really annoyed, so I made the world's pinkest pink, and I put it on my website, and I said, any artist can use the pinkest pink, as long as they're not Nish Kapoor. And they had to agree to a legal disclaimer that they weren't him or they weren't going to share it with him. Anyway, after I did that, everybody started writing into me, and Anish actually got the pink and put it on his Instagram, which is a whole other story. And everyone's saying, you must make a black that's better than his black. So here we are 2 years later. We made Black 2, which was an awesome matte black. But at that time, we had to use pigments that existed. And the problem with those is almost every black pigment, carbon's the most popular one, reflects some kind of light. If you think of a lump of coal or charcoal, it reflects light. It's shiny. We wanted something that would absorb light. So we had to add additives to it that we borrowed from the cosmetics industry to mattify it, to dull it down, to stop that light reflection from the front. Unfortunately, when you add mattifiers to black paint, it adds whiteness. So you start to get into tones of grey, which is actually not what you want at all. Since then, we were working on Black 3, and we finally finished it about a week ago after sending 1,000 out to beta testers around the world. The way we approached that is we collaborated with a lab in Dallas who actually custom grew a pigment for us, which is essentially a black pigment that's grown on a nano-sized ceramic microsphere. So we have a matte black pigment, which is amazing.
Right. And is this better at absorbing light then? It doesn't release as much as the other black?
Absolutely. So it is not reflective. It has like zero reflectance. The next thing we have to do is mix it into a paint, which is the other side of this innovation, which is we've created an acrylic polymer to hold this stuff that has more bonds available than any other acrylic polymer, which means we can supercharge it with pigment. What that means is in the visible light spectrum, we're seeing between 98 and 99% of light absorption. which in English means you get insanely weird looking black stuff. So if you paint it on 3D things, they look 2D like silhouettes. It's bizarre.
What kinds of things do you think it'll be used for? And will you let that other artist use it?
No, he can't have it unless he apologises and gives me my £3.99 back for the pink. I've no idea what people are going to use it for. So many people are asking. I know our black tea is used in photography studios and some of the greatest artists in the world are using it, but I don't know. It's useful in telescopes. It's useful in paintings. I mean, the black is black. There's so much you can make with it.
Awesome. And just very, very briefly, what's next?
Next, we created a eucalyptus-based, fully compostable glitter, which is absolutely awesome. And we're looking to take that technology into acrylic paints so that we can make plant-based, eco-friendly acrylic paints.
Brilliant. Eco-painting. Thank you very much, artist and paint creator Stuart Semple. And thank you to our other guests this week, Jeffrey Taylor, Paola Ricciardi, Katie Reinhardt and Sietske Franzken. Hopefully, if you weren't convinced already, we've shown you there's a lot more science in art than meets the eye.